The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Coming up on the Local Government News Roundup, a Gippsland councillor questioned by police. Melbourne City Council achieves its first surplus in 5 years. Bayside Council concerned over suburban rail loop planning changes. Cumberland's controversial book ban to be reconsidered. IPART rules on New South Wales Council special rate variations. A multi-million dollar fraud investigation underway at Gold Coast City Council. A South Australian council's legal fees under the microscope, and a cybersecurity incident shuts down a US city's computer systems. Just some of the stories ahead on the Local Government News Roundup. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy. Thanks for joining me for another curated selection of news from and about councils across Australia and beyond. Brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Heading the Victorian Roundup today, and ABC News has reported that Latrobe City Councillor Sharon Gibson was brought in by police for questioning this week before being released without charge. The questioning was in regard to a letter drop containing accusations about Mayor Darren Howe and State MP for Morwell Martin Cameron distributed on the eve of last year's mayoral election. CCTV captured an unidentified person in black clothing delivering the letter that is reported to have contained unsubstantiated allegations unrelated to the conduct of Mayor Howe and Mr. Cameron in office. Councillor Gibson confirmed to the ABC that she had been questioned and said she'd been ruled out of the investigation. The ABC says it's not suggesting Councillor Gibson was involved in the production or distribution of the letter and that it understands there was no substance to the allegations made in the letter. The City of Melbourne will deliver its first surplus in 5 years, amounting to $101,000, a year ahead of schedule while maintaining frontline services. Lord Mayor Sally Capp said the surplus has been possible due to prudent financial management, such as improving efficiency, reducing consultancy costs, and investing in new technology. The $781 million draft budget includes $224.7 million for major infrastructure projects and community assets, and almost $13 million to upgrade roads and footpaths. There's no ongoing funding commitment in the budget for the Green Line project and a number of other major planned projects, according to a report from The Age. Grants and donations will be sought for the projects in future years. As major event funding falls by nearly $2 million, general fines revenue is forecast to rise by nearly 60%. 15 projects are reportedly not funded over the four-year forecast period, with the Green Line project getting $24.5 million next financial year, but nothing beyond that. Councillor Capp said the rephasing of project funding was part of the difficult decisions that have had to be considered. The parents of a four-year-old boy who drowned in a suburban lagoon at Officer are calling for Cardinia Shire Council to take action to prevent similar tragedies. Yahoo News reported that the family says the thin wire fencing around the lagoon is inadequate to protect children, and they're urging Cardinia Shire to make changes. Cardinia Shire Mayor Councillor Jack Kowarczyk released a statement this week extending condolences to the boy's family. He said the Cardinia community have been deeply affected by the terrible incident and also acknowledged the impact of the incident on first responders and emergency services personnel. Bayside Council has expressed concerns with proposed planning changes in the suburban rail loop precinct key directions, which will significantly impact the municipality. Mayor Fiona Stitfold said excessive height limits, increased traffic congestion, and a squeeze on open space and community infrastructure are likely to have negative effects, particularly in Hyatt, Hampton East, Cheltenham, and Pennydale. She said the council's work with the Suburban Rail Loop Authority to advocate for positive outcomes had not been translated to the key directions. The council will consider a report on the impacts and a proposed submission on the SRL precinct key directions at upcoming meetings. Port Phillip City Council has developed guidance for planning safe and inclusive events for the LGBTIQA plus community and other diverse communities. An information pack will be presented to the council at tonight's meeting in response to a notice of motion from last June that called for the council to work with stakeholders, including the Victorian Pride Centre, the MAV and Victoria Police. The guidance is designed to help respond to security and safety concerns arising from the targeting of events for the LGBTIQA plus community by extremist groups. Also at tonight's meeting, the council will consider a recommendation for safety improvements to Inkerman Street in St Kilda. Officers have recommended a revised option with on-road buffered bike lanes and the loss of a significantly reduced number of parking spaces when compared to other considered options. Traders in the street have been campaigning against the potential loss of up to 116 parking spaces since plans were unveiled last year. The project is expected to cost nearly $6.9 million. More news in brief. Greater Shepparton has been awarded $250,000 over 3 years from the state government's Free from Violence Local Government Grant Program. The funding will support the implementation of a local government guide for preventing family violence and violence against women. A part-time project coordinator will be employed with applications open until the 17th of May. Hepburn Shire and Dajara have announced the name for the network of mountain bike trails in Creswick as Jiwangbaring. It means long track in the Jajar Warung language. The 60-kilometre network of trails is set to open late this year, offering a unique experience of the local landscape's cultural values, forested ecology and mining heritage. And Indigo Mayor Sophie Price has welcomed the announcement of Beechworth as the National Tidy Town of the Year. The honour was announced at an award ceremony in Gascoyne Junction, Western Australia, a remote outback community that won the title last year. Councillor Price said the win was testament to the hard work and dedication of the volunteers from the Beechworth Tidy Towns Committee, Iris Manick and Anne Wilson. This is the Local Government News Roundup for Wednesday the 15th of May 2024. It's episode number 336, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and from Ventia. I want to take a moment to bring you a sneak peek of a new episode of Roundup Unfiltered. Ali Wastey took on the role of CEO at the City of Greater Geelong in August last year after a period of turmoil at the council that saw the appointment of municipal monitors, questions about the process to recruit a new CEO that were raised by MPs in Parliament, and concerns raised publicly about the council's financial sustainability. I sit down with Ali to hear about her approach to meeting the challenges at Victoria's largest provincial city with one of the biggest workforces in the sector. Here's a sneak peek.
There are a number of challenges that was waiting for me to sort of get stuck into. And I think this is really, you know, my experience over the last 8 months has been a story that's got two tails in it. One of organisational transformation that we're still on the, you know, excuse the pun, but we're still on the journey, but we have made great inroads and strides. And one of governance. And the reason why the monitors were appointed, I think, was because of those two tails. And I really believe if the organisation from a cultural perspective was where it needed to be. The monitors perhaps wouldn't have been in here because the leadership would have been strong and in a better place to advise the councillors around governance practices and policies and to have things in place.
Let's go back to some other issues like financial sustainability. That's one thing that a lot was being said about before your arrival. There were some warning bells being sounded about the ability of the council to deliver what it had been saying it wanted to do. What was the scope of that problem?
I think there was some misinformation that went out there about the council in terms of its finances. That said, we are a very large council. We have an $800 million budget. There's within that $800 million, you know, we deliver $200 million worth of capital works. In terms of our finances, we're within the limits in terms of all the ratios of sustainability. We do need to really focus on what our program of service reviews will look like, and council will need to make some choices.
That's just a taste for you of my wide-ranging discussion with Ali Wastey, the CEO of the City of Greater Geelong. That episode of Roundup Unfiltered is available now for subscribers ahead of its release for all listeners next week. Back to the news now, and Cumberland City Council's ban on books featuring same-sex parents is back on the agenda for tonight's council meeting. Four councillors have submitted a notice of motion seeking to reverse the controversial decision taken last week. A petition seeking that the ban be overturned has attracted nearly 50,000 signatures. The agenda for the council meeting includes a letter from the Minister for the Arts, John Graham, who points out that the resolution of the council contravenes freedom of access to information guidelines that are issued under the Library Act. He's called on the council to reconsider the resolution with haste. The council meeting starts at 6:30 p.m. and will be streamed live on the council's website. The New South Wales Independent Commission Against Corruption has revealed it is investigating a former Canterbury Bankstown Council employee and a contractor. Operation Mantis is examining whether Benjamin Webb and Pietro Cossu dishonestly used their positions to benefit from a company they had financial interests in, and whether they attempted to influence the awarding of council contracts to another company for personal gain. The public inquiry is expected to last 3 weeks and will be presided over by ICAC Commissioner Helen Murrell, SC. ABC News has reported that a property part-owned by Sutherland Shire Mayor Carmelo Pesci was transformed from a three-bedroom holiday home into an eight-bedroom luxury rental without obtaining development approval. The property in the Shoalhaven Council area was purchased in 2014 by Mr. Pesci and Cronulla Sharks CEO Dino Mezzatesta and then advertised as a family retreat, fetching up to $12,500 a week. Unauthorised works were discovered by Shoalhaven City Council in 2022, which issued an order banning the use of a guest cottage that had been converted from horse stables. Mayor Pesci is now seeking retrospective approval for the building works to avoid a potential demolition order. Councillors at Albury City have voted to modify the city's civic event program around Australia Day in response to community feedback. Changes include increased council-funded activities on the day, potentially involving music, food trucks, stalls, family games and Indigenous elements. The Albury Awards will occur on the 25th of January and the citizenship ceremony within 3 days of Australia Day. And IPART has approved 5 of 9 applications from New South Wales councils for special variations to increase general income beyond the rate peg. Councils that have had their applications approved in full were Blaney Shire, 33.1% over 3 years, Narrandra Shire, 48.1% over 2 years, Randwick for a one-off increase of 11.67%, Tamworth, 36.1% over 2 years, and Willoughby, 15% in 1 year. 3 applications were approved for a lower increase and 1 was declined. Goulburn Mulwarri, Griffith and Kempsey had their applications partially approved, while Snowy Valleys Council was denied permission to increase rates by 42.38% over 3 years. To Queensland from the Gold Coast Bulletin, news of a multi-million dollar fraud at Gold Coast City Council, which is under investigation. The masthead says councillors were updated on the matter yesterday and an external review of council procedures is underway. CEO Tim Baker has confirmed that police are investigating an incident which resulted in a loss to the council of $2.78 million. He said while the details are confidential, the incident did not breach the council's operating systems and personal data has not been compromised. The Queensland Council CEO exodus continues with two resignations this week. North Burnett Regional Council CEO Margot Stork resigned effective immediately on Monday due to personal reasons. Mayor Les Hotz announced the resignation, acknowledging Ms. Stork's contributions, particularly in governance and systems improvement. Anna Scott has been appointed as the acting CEO until a permanent replacement is found or an interim CEO is appointed. Ms. Stork was appointed on a four-year contract commencing in May 2022. Her previous council CEO level roles were at Macedon Ranges Shire in Victoria and Murray River Council in New South Wales. And Douglas Shire Council has announced the resignation of CEO Rachel Brophy this week. Ms. Brophy will finish at the council on the 9th of July. Mayor Lisa Skamatzin thanked Ms. Brophy for her continued dedication, professionalism and commitment during good times and challenging situations, noting in particular her leadership of the council's response to ex-tropical cyclone Jasper, which brought unprecedented damage across the Shire. The council statement said Ms. Brophy was taking some downtime to spend with family. The website Newsport reported earlier in the day that the resignation was received in a confidential council session and that Paul Hoy would fill the position on an interim basis until a replacement CEO is recruited. It brings the total number of Queensland council CEOs to depart since the March elections to seven. One of those was Maranoa, which has advertised the position this week. Applications close on the 3rd of June with peak services recruitment. To South Australia from the Adelaide Advertiser, a report that legal fees at Adelaide Hills Council have increased by $100,000 this financial year due to the hiring of a lawyer to advise the mayor during meetings. The council's legal fees are expected to surpass $250,000 by June 30. The rise in legal fees was discussed at a council meeting this week in response to a question on notice from Councillor Louise Pascal. The council adopted changes to its mayor-seeking legal advice policy in February, the same meeting at which it granted a leave of absence for Mayor Jan Clare Wisdom until this week. Councillor Nathan Daniel has been acting mayor during that period. More news in brief. Northern Beaches Council is addressing safety concerns related to the increase in e-bike usage by launching an educational campaign. The campaign includes a video detailing the e-bike code and encourages riders to slow down, ring their bell and be ready for sudden changes. It targets young people and their parents and uses digital, social and outdoor signage. Georges River Council hosted its fifth annual Eurovision Live broadcast party on Sunday, attracting over 500 attendees. The event featured a Swedish-themed decor and food in honour of Sweden's hosting of this year's contest and the 50th anniversary of ABBA's Eurovision win. Mayor Sam Elmer praised the event for fostering connection, inspiring creativity and celebrating diversity. And Redlands Coast residents in Queensland can now compost more affordably due to a subsidy introduced by the Redlands City Council. The council has partnered with Compost Revolution to provide up to 80% off compost bins, worm farms and bokashi bins, along with composting training and support. The subsidy aligns with community feedback advocating for home and community composting. You're listening to episode number 336 of the Local Government News Roundup, recorded on the morning of Wednesday, the 15th of May, 2024. The podcast is brought to you, as always, by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on local government, with a series of workshops being conducted this month to help those considering standing for council later this year. Find out more on the VLGA's website. Thanks also to our supporting sponsors, Davidson, the nationally recognised recruiting and business advisory service for local government, and Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for local communities. It's global roundup time now, and recycling seems to be in the news lately. It certainly is across Australia, and it is in England too, where England's councils will soon be able to collect all recyclables in one bin, according to the recycling minister, Robbie Moore. Localgov.co.uk reports that it's all part of simpler recycling reforms, which aim to standardise bin collections across the country. The reforms also allow for co-collection of food and garden waste and require councils to collect residual household waste at least fortnightly. The Local Government Association has welcomed the flexibility in waste collection methods, but said that flexibility should extend to frequency of collections in whatever way best supports communities to reduce waste and improve recycling. BBC News reports today that new leadership roles at Bristol City Council are almost finalised, more than 2 weeks after the elections. The council will be run under a committee system, with the Greens Party to lead 6 of 8 new policy committees and the other 2 led by Liberal Democrats. The Greens won 34 of the 70 council seats, while Labor holds the second largest group with 21 seats. The party will not chair any of the new committees. A senior councillor told the BBC that negotiations have been like juggling fish. To Canada, and residents of an apartment building in Winnipeg, Manitoba, have been ordered to vacate due to serious structural deterioration. The city issued the order after a third-party engineering inspection found severe deterioration in various parts of the building's structure. The building, which houses about 180 suites, is expected to take several months to repair. CBC News reported that the residents, many of whom are seniors, have been left in a state of distress as they scramble to find alternative accommodation. In the US, the city of Wichita, Kansas, has turned off its computer systems due to a cybersecurity incident earlier this month. The city's IT department and security partners are working around the clock to address the incident, with many systems unavailable, while experts determine the source and extent of the incident. The city is unable to accept credit card payments for services. It's made all transit services fare-free, and screens and public Wi-Fi are non-operational at the city's airport. There's no timeline for when systems might come back online. In Los Angeles, county prosecutors have declined to file charges against 2 former union workers who leaked a recording of LA City Council members making racist remarks. The recording, which also discussed manipulating city council boundaries, led to widespread protests and the resignation of several officials. Despite the recording breaking California's consent law, prosecutors found the charges did not warrant being felonies. The California Globe reported that the case has been sent to the LA City Attorney's Office and all charges are now misdemeanors. And in the Philippines, the vice mayor of Cebu City, Raymond Alvin Garcia, has assumed the role of acting mayor following a 6-month suspension order served on the mayor, Michael Rama, and 7 other officials for misconduct and violations of ethical standards. Mr. Garcia has prioritized the processing of salaries and benefits for 4 employees who filed complaints against the suspended officials, and he's announced the release of a mid-year bonus, according to a report from GMANetwork.com. We have some breaking executive news today. Paul Lawrence has been confirmed as the new chief executive of the City of Edinburgh Council, succeeding Andrew Kerr. Mr. Lawrence, who served as the council's executive director of place since 2015, will take up his role on June 17. The CEO of Nottingham City Council, Mel Barrett, has announced that he's leaving to take up a new position with Metropolitan Thames Valley Housing. Mr. Barrett joined Nottingham in September 2020 during the COVID pandemic, and when the council was facing financial issues that saw the government appoint commissioners to oversee its governance. Arrangements for his replacement are pending. And Joe Miller has been reappointed as chief executive of Hutt City Council in New Zealand following a robust, externally led process. Mayor Campbell Barry said Ms. Miller has a proven track record of delivering on council priorities, and her experience in leading innovative housing solutions in the UK and New Zealand are invaluable to the council and the region. And And while we're in New Zealand, a final story for you, a bit of drama in Christchurch this week. A protester scaled the lower roof of the Christchurch City Council civic offices on Monday morning, waving a Palestine flag. The two-hour incident led to the closure of the street below and the involvement of police and firefighters. The Star News reported that two police negotiators were lifted in a fire appliance to negotiate with the protester, who then descended with them and was taken away by police. Never a dull moment in the world of local government. That's the latest from the roundup for the 15th of May 2024, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and from Ventia. You can find the links to the stories referenced in today's episode and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. Don't forget, if you're a subscriber to The Roundup, you can now listen to our new episode of Roundup Unfiltered with Ali Wasty, the CEO of the City of Greater Geelong. But don't worry, you don't have to subscribe. If you're happy to wait, we'll be dropping that episode for everyone next week. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the City of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more very soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.